kids. It's time to get some SML podcast all up in that.
Rapons did.
Joe, you might appreciate my teammate's name. His name is Dingus Bingus.
That's a pretty solid name.
Dingus Bingus.
He needs like a partner named Doingus Boingus.
Dude, now you're onto something.
Mm-hmm. All right, Chris, time to make an alternate account.
Yeah, like I need another one.
What would the other names? So we have Dingus Bingus, Doingus Boingus.
Dungus Bungus.
Dungus Bungus, that's a good one.
just go through all the vowels.
And Chad.
And just Tony.
Just make Chad. It Chet. It sounds a little more bro-douchey. Chet.
Austin.
Dungus Bungus. You got that one, too.
Or Keith.
What's up, Keith?
Tyler.
Or Taylor.
I mean, is this like a video game team or the worst boy band ever?
Yes. Obviously both. All right. Now yeah, Adam's online.
I tell you what, man, I may try and do some Rocket League streaming after I stop playing with the band a bit.
That'd be cool if you did that.
Because it's not like I don't play enough of the fucking game the way it is. Like,
we have an Adam. Ooh, Adam's doing video. Look at this shit.
Oh, yeah, I'm playing Rocket League, so no video.
How's it going, Adam?
Oh, pretty good. How you doing?
Good.
Are you enjoying your newfound fame?
Oh, yeah. It's been interesting. That's for fucking
I guess interesting's a good word for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to miss any good conversation, so I'm just going to start the show. What's up, everyone? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. A bunch of friends on for this one. We're just going to bullshit. No special interview, no news, just bullshitting. And let's see, who's here? Chris Huber, you're back. How are you doing, man?
I'm alive. I'm breathing. I'm playing some Rocket League, it's the little things.
Nice. Also hanging around, Ian Griffin, a.k.a. Jesus. How are you doing, sir?
Oh, I'm not doing too bad. I'm loving this amazing weather we've been having.
Yeah, what do you mean? What?
2 days.
70 to 40?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mother Nature's been a little bipolar, but I can deal.
And then the fourth man on the call, straight from China. Olympic figure skater Adam Rippon, how are you doing?
I'm doing just fabulous.
Outstanding.
You don't sound like the figure skater. Are you an imposter?
I absolutely am. Yep. I've been living a lie this whole time.
The Dragon Fantasy stuff was all just a lie.
Oh yeah.
Your true passion is on the ice.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know
it's
that
where
you had
he
that in you.
Expresses himself.
Well, the Rippon Lutz is a family treasure. Although he didn't do it at the Olympics, I think.
Yeah, what's up with that? Why didn't he?
Well, I know he didn't do his quads because he's 28, and I gather that's really old for figure skating, and he just wanted to fucking go there and nail his set rather than like try for like serious gold and then fucking fall on his ass like all those dudes who fell on their asses and won. I don't blame him. He's got his goals. And I can't understand. I do not understand fucking figure skating scoring.
I don't either.
It's weird.
Fucking RPGs for a living. Fucking battle stat calculations, experience tables, all kinds of shit. I cannot figure out figure skate scoring.
Yeah.
Well, then that just means that you're not a true figure skater.
I mean, yeah, we can understand the stat scaling in a Final Fantasy game, but figure skating? Nah, fuck that.
You have a lot of research to do.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, man. So have you guys been watching the Olympics a lot?
Oh, not at all.
I've been catching it on and off. Actually, I watched the replay of the U.S. versus Canada game for the gold medal, and holy shit.
Is that hockey? Yeah, hockey.
And it was insane. We ended up winning it in double overtime with shootout.
Damn.
So, Mighty Ducks kind of shit.
USA, oh, yeah, it was USA. Yeah, it was exactly Mighty Ducks, because the entire, overtime period, I mean, the puck was just going back and forth and back and forth, and you could tell the goalies are on the verge of just shitting diamonds. They were so, it was so tense. But we finally beat Canada. I mean, I think it's Canada's first defeat in, five Olympics.
Damn. I know we fucked up Canada's winning streak in curling today.
Oh, yes.
They won the gold in the past three Olympics, and today was the medal round started, and it was U.S. versus Canada. Winner goes to the gold medal match, and we beat them. It was awesome.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, Canada's kind of getting toppled off a lot of podiums this year, this time around.
And if I'm not mistaken, if Canada's won curling the last three Olympics, that means Canada's won curling every single Olympic Games that it's been in, because it hasn't been in the Olympics very long.
Really? It hasn't?
Well, curling was added, I thought, two Olympics ago, so...
I was going to say, that sounds right, but don't quote me on that.
Yeah, don't quote me on it either. I actually really love the Olympics. You wouldn't figure, you wouldn't figure skate. I actually am really into it, so... But I'm not an expert. I don't really pay that much attention to the little minutia and stuff. I just like watching people be good at shit.
Yeah. I mean, these are the world's top athletes. Actually.
What was that?
What'd you say, Chris?
I think that's a good mindset to have, just wanting to watch people be good at shit.
Most people suck at everything, so watching Olympic people be good at shit is great.
So I figured I had to look it up. Curling was first played at the Olympics in 1924.
Okay. Oh, wow.
And then it was a demonstration sport in 1932, and then it was gone until 88. It was a demonstration sport in 1988 and 1992. And then it came back. It was an official sport, a 98 on.
Okay.
So 98, 2002, 6, 10, 14, and 18.
Okay. So half of them, they won half of the.
Long enough to really establish themselves as.
Yeah. Let's see. 98, Canada took second. 2002, they took second. And then 6, 10, and 14, they took the gold. And this year, they got booted the fuck out from us. Hell yeah! Yeah!
I tell you, I actually really like watching curling, too, because, I don't have any idea why anybody would play that, but watching them run around and, sweep, it's like competitive mopping. It's amazing.
competitive mopping.
I legitimately can't stop watching curling. If it's on, I need to watch it. It's not even I'll have it on in the background. During the round robin portion of the play, they would have four games going at once because, the way the arena is set up, they have four of the ice lanes set up, and I would have two games on the one monitor, a third one on my other monitor, and then a fourth on my phone.
That's ridiculous, actually.
No shit, just watching all four games, and I couldn't stop.
That's ridiculous. I approve, though.
The man loves his curling.
Yeah, apparently.
Maybe that's your Ian? True calling.
I think we lost Ian.
Oh, no.
Sounds like it.
Ian, I heard a hang-up sound, and I didn't know what it was.
Well, that makes sense.
I don't know. Whatever. He'll be back, I'm sure. Maybe his internet pooped out or something. But, Chris, you're not watching any Olympics at all?
No, I haven't been able to, man. I've just been,
You unpatriotic son of a bitch.
yeah, I guess. if you can say... How are they patriotic?
Because you got to root for the country.
You don't have to.
I mean, you should.
maybe I want to see Norway win more than us.
Maybe. I mean, hell, if you want to root for Norway, you know, you be you, man.
Yeah, you know.
I won't judge.
Who's to say that I have to have that infinite amount of patriotism that I just blindly follow whoever my, you know what I mean?
True. Yeah, but you were watching Adam Rippon, right?
I mean, I was watching your interviews with people.
I will accept that. Yep.
So I found them infinitely more interesting.
So how has your life been the past 2 weeks with the Olympics going on?
So, yeah, about a week ago, it kind of started to slow down. But that first few days of Adam Rippon mania was nuts.
Rippon mania.
Yeah. People calling me, people, you know, wanting to interview. You know, I got like it started with Jason Schreier from Kotaku, who's a friend of mine. And he's like, hey, can I interview you about this? And I'm like, sure, why not? You know, because I figure like everybody likes talking about him because he's a lovely man. I mean that in the sense that he's a nice guy. He's funny. And dude, that dude is hot as shit. I was like, sure. Yeah. You know, I'll get you some page views. Why not? And then like it was, I think, like triple as many page views as my actual Dragon Fantasy articles on Kotaku ever got.
Holy shit.
Of course, right? Like,
yeah, like, I mean, that's cool, it's funny, but oh, fuck that.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
But
I wish we could control like what becomes viral and what doesn't, like,
right? Yeah.
Yeah, seriously, if I could control that shit, I would have so many more viewers. This is the episode, yep. Man. I have Olympic figure skater Adam Rippon on this show. What was allegedly. It like not winning a medal?
It was just like winning a medal, but with way better eyebrows.
Are you jealous of the other Adam's hair?
Oh, God, yes. Jealous of his hair before the Olympics. He had this big curly mop top that like I actually thought looked great on him. Now, right now, he's kind of got like, it's that overly clean cut, like Macklemore kind of, you know, Bieber-esque kind of thing that I'm not really into. I mean, he makes it work. He looks good. But when he had the big goofy mop on top of his head, that's the kind of hair I like. I like to look not super, I was going to say straight-laced, but straight, I guess. Like, I'm not.
you need that gay friend to give you a makeover. Yeah,
exactly. Well, I did go. I went out with some lady friends, which is like going out with gay friends. Sparkle shopping.
Wait, I'm sorry. What was that last part?
Sparkle shopping.
I'm
buying some figure skater esque looking clothes for GDC because everybody.
Oh, okay. Dressed
up, and so I'm giving the people what they want.
You're a man of the people. I appreciate that.
You have to get the same outfit that he wore during his performance with like the blue sparkly top and the black pants.
If I could, I would, but I don't think I can find that.
And just walk everywhere in ice skates.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that sounds really fun.
I have rollerblades. I could get pretty close.
Yes. Do it. Just skating around GDC.
Yeah.
Being it. Sounds like you'd want to be a soul skater.
Oh yeah. I don't know what it is, but it sounds great and I'd like to be it.
You never saw Brink?
No.
That like Disney Channel original movie with oh man, I can't even remember what that guy's name is. You gotta watch it. It's classic.
I don't think I've ever seen a single Disney Channel original movie, so
it was an old one. Like it was an old one.
Oh so, my god, from 98.
Yeah.
That is old.
Yeah, right. Do you know the guy that, like, are you looking it up right now, Joe?
Yeah, I'm on IMDb. I don't see any recognizable name. The only name I recognize is Walter Jones, and I think he was from Power Rangers.
I think that's what I'm thinking of, maybe.
Yeah, like the Black Ranger, Walter Jones.
Yes, that's right. Yes, he was in that.
this movie looks terrible.
Terrible or amazing?
Yes. Very much yes. Andy Brink Brinker and his inline skating crew, Peter, Jordy, and Gabriella, who call themselves soul skaters, which means they skate for the fun of it and not for the money, clash with a group of sponsored skaters, Team X-Blades, led by Val, with whom they attend high school in Southern California. When Brink discovers his family's in financial trouble, he goes against the wishes of his parents and his friends and joins Team X-Blades. Brink tries to lead a double life, but will he be able to pull it off? Chris, does he?
Yeah, he pulls it off.
Okay, cool.
Now we don't have to watch the movie, and thank God for that.
I would still watch it. Dude, because it was made in the 90s, like, the soundtrack is like a bunch of ska music, and like it's good. It's fun. It's a good time.
Well, my wife would approve. You know, she used to be in that ska band. Speaking of which, we're going down to L.A. in like a month or two for what is apparently like the biggest ska show like ever. It's every old ska band, and they're like all back together, and they're playing some big ska show. She's so fucking excited. And I'm doing my best to be like, yeah, I'm as excited as you are. Definitely.
Gotta be that supportive guy.
Like, I like Scott. Don't get me wrong. Like, the Aquabats are playing, and if they've got horns, cool. I will be into it. If they don't have horns, Aquabats without horns.
Oh, they'll have it. They'll have it.
Yeah.
Are you going to be skanking?
I will be skanking. Yeah.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Big video. I want to see it.
All right. Yep. I've skanked with Skank and Pickle before, so, you know.
Skank and Pickle.
Yeah, you never heard of Skank and Pickle?
I have not.
They were a big ska band back in the 90s. I mean, maybe not like Real Big Fish or you know, fucking whoever, but...
Goldfinger.
Yeah. I would say about the same level of bigness. I know all those guys. Sick of people. Well, the ones that they're still alive.
That is a pretty amazing band logo, too.
Mm-hmm.
Skank and Pickle. They have a Wikipedia page.
The saxophone player from that band, Mike Park, is the head of Asian Man Records, who was the label that Donnell's ska band was on. And he had her and her band back him up for Yo Gabba Gabba one time.
That's amazing,
that is
actually.
Awesome.
Yeah. They were the Super Music Friends.
Super Music Friends. Yay. So,
there were three bands backstage. There was, well, three sets of musicians. There was the Super Music Friends. There was what's the name of the rapper guy who is part of Yo Gabba Gabba? It's not...
Biz Markie?
Biz Markie. I was only coming up with Busta Rhymes. I knew it started with a B.
Oh my God. I would love to see...
That'd be a very different version of Yo Gabba Gabba.
I would love to see Busta Rhymes on Yo Gabba Gabba.
Yeah, right? Biz Markie was so stoned the entire time. It was amazing. Like, I was amazed he could even stand. and then OK Go, who are the nicest fucking people in the world. Yeah, that was a great night.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah.
I wish they had Yo Gabba Gabba when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's, if I'm not mistaken, is it Parker Jacobs or is it Christian Jacobs? It's one of the Aquabats. It's either the lead singer of the Aquabats or his brother. I think it's Parker who organized Yo Gabba Gabba in the first place or Christian. Created something. Is it Christian?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, he's a nice guy too.
I'm on Wikipedia. I'm just looking all this shit up.
that's good work.
Chris is playing Rocket League. Adam, you're firing up Secret of Mana. I'm not playing Wikipedia.
I have not lost a game yet.
Really?
Nope.
How many have you played?
I've not played a game yet.
This is, that was my third one. I'm doing the worst ranked queue that you could possibly do, solo standard. So everybody is in it for themselves, basically.
Nice.
Nobody plays as a team.
Assholes.
You got to be really good.
But Adam, you're still not playing over there?
It'll be downloaded in about 6 minutes.
Man, you have to download. Why didn't you have it downloaded already?
Because I downloaded it for fucking PC and then it crashed on boot up because it's programmed by geniuses. Fucking people making shitty video games. Because
it's on PC.
Yeah.
PC Master Race, right?
Yeah.
Once you get it working, yes.
Chris,
that's right. The key.
Chris, yeah. You would be so proud. We're recording this episode on Thursday, and I recorded one earlier that night for our Friday show. Mm-hmm. And 3 minutes before the show was going to start, I started the streaming, started the recording, was ready for the call. Computer crashed.
Get out.
Like hard, complete crash. Blue screen. Yeah.
Screens are fun.
Your computer has encountered an error. We're collecting data, and then it will restart automatically. Thanks. How about you just stop being terrible? That would be great. Oh, man. So, yeah, Chris, we gotta do something with my computer soon.
Piece some stuff together and do an upgrade.
Yeah.
It's about that time.
I know you're mentioning it might be like a power supply thing. I wonder if that's the cause of it.
Well, I mean, it's a multitude of issues, I would assume.
Probably. The fact that my computer's like creeping up on, I don't know, 7, 8 years old, something like that.
Yeah.
That doesn't help. Never helps.
Of course not.
Ah, oh, man. How's Secret of Mana download? Is it done yet? I want your thoughts. Live thoughts and impressions.
Well, I can give you the one of it's programmed by idiots because it doesn't fucking boot. Do you know how to do a refund on Steam? Because I'm not paying $40 for something that just shows a white
work.
Crashes.
I don't know. Chris, you do shit on Steam, don't you?
I have not done a refund yet, though.
Steam support. Yeah. Maybe. Okay.
You can request a refund for nearly any purchase on Steam for any reason. Visit help.steampower.com, issue a refund for any reason. If the request is made within 14 days of purchase and the title is less than 2 hours, then you'll get one. So there you go.
I'll worry about it later.
Just go to help.steampower.com. I kind of like the new Secret of Mana.
Sorry.
I don't know. There's just a lot wrong with it. I'm still not sold on the visuals. I still think it looks like it was a mobile game that just got prettied up a bit. I like the old school SNES sprites. Just not going to be that for me.
I haven't gotten this damn thing to boot up yet, but I have played the remake of Seiken Densetsu 1 that they did for mobile phones and Vita.
Yeah.
And that was way better than the Game Boy original. Realistically, it was, it's way more playable today because the Game Boy original is a bit dicey, It's kind of shitty. But I mean, that's not to say it wasn't a good game at its time. It's just older Game Boy games don't hold up very well. When I saw that it was the same team doing the remake of Seiken Densetsu 2, which is Secret of Mana, I was like, I knew from the announcement that it was going to be shit. Cause like, it doesn't feel good. The remake of the first one feels better, but like, you can't take a game that's built for a 2D world and just say, oh, I'm going to use the default physics in Unity and it'll be fine. like our studio right now is working on a remake of an older game that I can't tell you what it is.
No one's listening.
Like, you have listener, so I can't.
I have listener.
He's not wrong.
No, that's pretty accurate. We have listener.
I can't let listener know what game we're working on. But anyway, like, we're working on a project and you really have to take into consideration like what the original game was, what it was going for, what it was trying to do and couldn't reach, but like you can't just replace everything with this is what a modern game does. It doesn't work that way. You really have to think about that stuff. And I'm expecting when I play Secret of Mana, which is now ready in 1 minute, according to PlayStation Network.
Nice. Ooh,
seconds even. I'm expecting that I'm going to see, a lot of like floatiness, and just kind of like, lackluster presentation for what was a game that, like, on the Super Nintendo, Secret of Mana was one of the prettiest and most ambitious games on the system. Like, it, you know, when you compare it to the bar that was set by other games, like, it was up there, right? And this does not meet that kind of level of bar for current gen games visually, I think. And I think, you know, I'm obviously I haven't played it yet. I might start playing it and just be like, I fucking love this.
I might.
I do tend to have different tastes than 90% of gamers out there, but,
did you listen to my review yet?
I haven't. I've never listened
to anything you've ever done.
I don't listen to podcasts.
Me neither. I don't like the host.
Yeah. I don't listen to any podcasts. So, okay. Installing. Installed. Yeah.
Yeah. But you told me you were interested in hearing that one.
I was. I am interested. Yeah. Still not. Do it.
Bastard.
All right. Well, the startup screen looks really nice. I really do like the new like presentation art they've got. You hear that?
Oh yeah, we hear it.
Should I turn this down?
Probably.
No. Nah, leave it in.
Fuck it. Leave the volume as it is for now. We'll see how it goes.
We're watching the boot screen right now. Let's see what we got.
I think Ian's ready to come back too. Yeah,
already upset.
We'll see if Ian will play nice on his end now.
Hey guys.
Hey.
Welcome back, Ian. Ground hey. Jester on Mixer says you will all join the dark side. I can't tell if he is trolling or not. I guess we'll find out with his next message.
But just to let you guys know, the Schrodinger's internet package is and is not all it's cracked up to be.
Schrodinger's internet package?
Yeah. Apparently my computer refused to believe it existed, despite the fact that the modem and router were both working fine. So I do and do not have internet.
Ground Jester says Star Wars. Are you guys Star Wars fans?
All right. I'm going to turn this down now. Am I a Star Wars fan? Yeah, I like Star Wars. I don't go like super crazy for it, and I don't have like a ton of opinions about whether or not, you know, things are right with a Star Wars movie. But okay, there's bigger flamingos in the background and smaller ones in the foreground. I'm upset. Little details in this are all wrong.
The title screen?
The downfall.
Yeah.
The title screen is just like the artwork from the original game, just animated. Yeah. So it's probably just something they fucked up originally.
Yeah, maybe.
Goddamn right. 90s artwork.
Direct audio language, definitely Japanese. Oh, but I can't do Japanese text. All right. Randy. No, I'm not naming myself Randy.
That was the original name.
Yeah, I know. But I think that's a dumb name.
So what name are you picking?
I'm picking Adam.
Oh, that is so unique.
Yep. Hey, put figure skates on him. That's good. All right.
That would be great if you could put skates on him.
Yeah. Several people have said I need to, you know, do an update to Dragon Fantasy 2 and add a code where you figure skate everywhere all the time.
Yeah. That could be the Xbox exclusive edition. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, there you go, man.
Yep.
We keep giving you more reasons to make the Xbox version of Dragon Fantasy.
Bass bottles, figure skating. those two things. Oh, fishing minigame.
Yeah. Can't forget the fishing minigame. And Chris, what was your character's name gonna be? Jason Seagull.
But it had Seagull. To be an actual, like a seagull.
Yeah, Jason Seagull. Wow, we have problems.
Yeah.
Wait, what game are we talking about?
The best game in the history of mankind. Come on,
he's not wrong.
Dragon Fantasy.
Oh,
yeah. Gotcha. This guy on the call, he created that game. And he still won't bring it to Xbox. I think it's spite at this point. I think it's just pure spite.
I think it does run on Xbox now because, you know, the Street Fighter collection's running on the same engine and it runs on Xbox. But the amount of work to get a game that runs to be shippable, it's
very different.
Yeah.
I swear, every time you're on, you tell us about the engine running and, oh, yeah, it should work on there. It should totally work on there. This game uses the same engine and it works on there. So it should totally work on there. I'm not going to put it on there, but it should work on there.
I just like to rub it in your face.
You're such a dick, Adam.
Yeah, I am.
I like the figure skater better.
Well, everyone does. So you got good company.
Seriously, what do I have to do? How can we make this happen?
If Adam Rippon gets on SNL and you can get me on SNL with him, I'll put it on Xbox.
He can get on SNL. You're on SML. So
close.
Tausch.
And
Tausch. Wow. Tausch.
I've never heard Tausch before. Oh my god. Tausch.
Let's see. Okay.
So my lord.
I'm playing the Secrets of the Manas now, and I'm walking around. I'll say, I actually think it looks better than I thought it was going to look.
Yeah, I mentioned that in the review. Like, it, in motion and on screen, it looks better than it does in pictures and in trailers.
Yeah, yeah.
Although I, like, my gripes with the game is, like, the one thing that they did to modernize it is instead of being four direction combat, it's eight directions. So now you have diagonals you got to worry about.
Yeah.
And they didn't, like, modernize anything else. Like, having to wait until your gauge hits 100%, you still got to do that. Even on the Super Nintendo, like, when you would hit an enemy and they would hit the ground and you had to, like, wait a few seconds before you could hit them again, or else they would just, like, you would attack, and then 4 seconds later, they would move again, and the damage would pop up. That shit's still in there.
Huh.
That's weird.
Like, it's all the quality of life changes that they could have made to Secret of Mana, they didn't. But, yeah, you know, they gave a 3D makeover-ish?
Make sideways. Like, it's like
2.5D?
It yeah, I mean, you can
sort of,
it's a make under.
I hate that term, but yeah, like, yeah, it's, and I don't mean to say I hate that and I'm angry at you. I just mean I don't like the term, but like, it's, yeah, it's 2.5D. But it's 30 frames a second. Why is this 30 frames a second? This doesn't look that good. Okay, I got the sword. I like, I'll say one thing, the text boxes are way more readable. Like, trying to play the original Secret of Mana on a modern TV that doesn't blur everything to shit, the text box is this awful, awful dither, and it's, oh, it looks so bad.
For the original, are you talking about, like, on a Super Nintendo, or have you played it on Virtual Console?
I mean, like, playing it on a Super Nintendo on an old-ass TV, it might have looked a lot better. Yeah, vintage style. But playing it on, like, on a Super Nintendo that's hooked up to a HDTV, or playing it on a what do you call it? Super NT, which those are freaking amazing, by the way. I really want one.
What's a Super NT?
The analog it's basically a perfect reproduction of a SNES, but it hooks up HDMI and it can read original cards, but also has an SD card slot, wireless controller. It's real good. You should look it up. Mike and some of the guys at work bought them. And, you know, I've got, like, Super Nintendo and Super Famicom classics and stuff, and did the same idea, except, the analog NT is way more accurate, in terms of cycle count and shit. It's essentially perfect.
Because I thought the SNES Classic, I thought Secret of Mana looked great. I didn't have any problems reading text. I think, you know, I thought on there and even on, like, the Wii U Virtual Console, I think it looks really good.
Well, I mean, I think it, oh yeah, this is like this almost, boy, it's weird. This feels like almost like they're running the game in the background and just translating what's happening in the game onto the screen. You know what I mean? Like it feels so much like the SNES version that I feel like maybe they're running an emulator and just saying like, okay, this happened, so do this now.
It might. I thought the game felt like just a smidge slow.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not like the game is running in slow-mo or anything. It's just, compared to the original, it's like a half a step slow.
Yeah.
It's hard to explain it.
Yeah.
Just enough that if you're familiar with the old style, you'd kind of notice something wrong, or at least feel something wasn't quite right.
Yeah, just a little weird.
Well, like, they've got this mini-map that's like a... It looks so much like the original version of the game.
Yeah, I know. I love the mini-map.
Yeah, the mini-map's the best part.
Like the original tile set and everything.
Like, it feels sort of like they tried to reproduce the game in 2D and then added 3D on top and jacked it all up with this, you know, omnidirectional combat. And, like, you can't turn around instantly. That's a big flaw in my mind. Like, with a game like Secret of Mana, where you press left and you press right, and one frame later, you're facing right, you know? Mm-hmm. And in this, if I press left and then press right, I spin around. And like that slows the game down, you know, perceptibly.
Especially when it's a game where, you know, you do an attack and you have to wander around for 5 seconds until you hit 100% again, and then you could attack again.
Yeah.
Why couldn't they modernize it and get rid of that shit? Just let me attack things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does feel a little weird.
I mean, at the game's core, it's still Secret of Mana, so it's still a pretty good game. But
yeah, and I like this a hell of a lot better than I thought I was going to.
Yeah, even still, my review, like my recommendation, I'm like, if you can only play the game on PS4 or Steam, you know, it's worth checking out. If you can get an SNES Classic, get an SNES Classic, because you're getting the better version of the game and then 20 other games.
Yeah, yeah.
Including Earthbound. And you can't fuck with Earthbound.
Including Earthbound.
Yeah.
And shorter controllers.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Hey, the cords are okay length this time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay-ish. I'm happy to have done that.
They sell wireless ones too, don't they?
I think you can get, like, probably, but, you know, I actually really like the reproduction of the SNES Classic controller, and I, you know, I don't mind the cable, and I didn't want to buy, I have 4 SNES Classic controllers, you know, the 2 SNES Classic and 2 Super Famicom ones, and so I was just like, I don't need anything else to play Super Nintendo games on in this house. I have too many freaking controllers already.
Clicky buttons are I like the fact that the buttons actually click on the Super Nintendo controllers. It feels right. I love the Super Nintendo controller.
Yeah, me too. It's probably my favorite controller of all time.
I agree. It's definitely one of my favorites.
It is. My all-time favorite controller, Xbox One Elite. It's got to be the Elite controller. It just
when it works,
feels
sure.
So good.
Oh, yeah. When it works and it doesn't fall apart, yeah, it's amazing.
Candy won't fit. I have 4 candies already, so I can get candies.
Go into your options. You could change it to 12.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That's nice. How they modernized it. You can hold more items.
Yay.
Fuck yeah. You can hold 12 candies now.
What button is the, there it is. Okay.
I think square button and then triangles, like when you have the other party members to open their menu.
Item limit. Yep. That's good. I never liked that in the SNES version.
Yeah. Well, fucking 4 items. Come on.
I'm going to set it to 8. I like that they give you the middle, you know, keep some of the original intent.
I got to go full 12. It's there. You got to use it.
Yeah. All or nothing.
Pretty much. Then when you do the grind in the beginning and you just like walk to town and back a whole bunch of times until you're like level 4 so you could kill the underground enemy dude in like 2 hits, just sell all those candies and then you're just rolling in money. you know, for the 4 gold you get for each one or something stupid.
Candy Tycoon.
Yeah, boy.
Just got to the town, the first town. I really like the way the buildings look. Like, it, that feels like they did a good job reproducing the SNES style and doing it in 3D. This looks like what I remember it looking like, but, you know, better. So kudos to them for that.
What do you think of the music so far? I don't know if you have the volume up loud enough for it or not.
Let's find out.
Sounds adorably adorable.
I think that's what they were going for.
Yeah, that sounds badly mastered.
The new soundtrack feels very hit or miss. Like, when you go to the boss battle, you're going to be like, what the fuck is this song?
The bass bottle?
Yeah, the bass bottle. When you fight the bass bottle. Bass bottle pro. When you go fly fishing. Yeah, and everything's fully voice acted. So they, you know, they went the extra mile with the game, but I don't know.
It's just basically they wanged it on the controls.
The game could have been so much more. It really could have. And it deserved more.
Joe, that HQ one is live.
Is it?
HQ trivia.
I didn't download that one. I'll have to do the 930 one on the other game.
Okay, I'm doing this one right here. There's a million people on right now.
A million? Jesus Christ.
There's a million people on.
I don't think you're going to win another penny, Chris.
There are these two mobile trivia games that happen like live, like at certain times of the day. So you have to actually log on when they happen live. And you just like answer. They're multiple choice questions. You answer them, and if you make it all the way to the end, you split the prize money with whoever's left over.
Oh, well then.
I'm sorry. 1.1 million.
1.1 million. That is a lot of people.
Yeah,
playing a game.
1 million people right now.
Right now.
That is totes redonk.
Yeah.
I believe that's the technical term. Totes redonk.
Mm-hmm. Hashtag totes redonk.
Oh my lord.
Yeah. The music's terrible.
Are you in the boss battle?
Like the right notes in a couple of places. Where the fuck is the, which one of these is items? Oh, there.
It feels so hit or miss with so much of the game, and it's a bummer. I wish.
Yeah. There's a lot more love put into this than I would have thought, but they just don't understand the original game well enough. I think, you know, the physics of it, the art looks pretty good. I would have rather seen outlines on the characters. I don't think you can take a game that originally had outlined characters and just remove it and then have it feel the same. People might argue with me on that, and they're certainly welcome to, but I'm right.
Want to fucking fight? We'll fucking fight. Throw down over Secret of Mana.
1.2 million.
Yeah.
God damn, that's a lot of people. How are you going to win money with that many people?
You got to get them all right.
True.
So that's what Gimma looks like. So much facial detail compared.
Oh man. So yeah, your first 10-minute impression. What do you think is Secret of Mana? Do a full review right now.
Okay. Well, I like it better than I thought I would. And I feel like the team that worked on this did learn a lot of lessons from the first one that they did. But I feel like they fixed the things that didn't need to be fixed and broke some things that were okay before, and I think that's a bummer. Like, it feels to me like a team that really loves the source material and doesn't know what to do with it. And I'm bummed because every time Square Enix remakes one of their old games, you know, some of them are really good, but most of them are terrible. And the ones that are terrible, there's never any updates. No quality of life updates anyway. Sometimes they'll update, like, their iOS games, they've updated Dragon Quest 1, 2, and 3 every time they need to update it for, you know, because it broke on an older, on a newer version of iOS. But they never fixed the fact that 1 and 2 look like hot garbage. Like, they render it with uneven pixel sizes on the iPhone and Android. So, like, they blow it up by 2.75x, so every other pixel is a different size, and it looks unbelievably shitty. And they fixed that for Dragon Quest III and all the ones after that. But they never, they won't go back and update 1 and 2, which, like, it's been, oh, what, like, 3 or 4 years since that came out, and I would love to play Dragon Quest 1 and 2 on literally anything that is modern, but they won't. They even did the PS4 version of it, and it was based on the friggin' mobile version that's garbage. So, you know, this, now we've got this, and we won't see another remake of Secret of Mana for 20 years, I'm sure. and they're not going to any of the stuff, probably, and that makes me sad.
Oh, man. But, what was the one that they, instead of Dragon Quest, they had it as Dargon Quest?
Dargon Quest?
Dargon Quest 4,
that I was think. 4.
Yeah, for iOS. And
God,
that was a pretty good rendition of that game. I played all the way through 3, 4, 5, and 6 on my iPhone. And those four are the best mobile ports of any of Square Enix's games. But the original mobile port of Secret of Mana, or the Seika Densetsu 1 that they did in this style, all the Final Fantasies, you know, they're not good ports. And they won't, it would take me, if they gave me source code, I could fix most of the problems in like a day. And I don't mean that per game. I mean, like, all the games, I could probably fix it in a day.
Hit them up, like, make it happen.
Yeah.
I don't want to get paid. I just want the games to not suck.
Yeah.
And yeah. Then you'll make Xbox versions.
I'm pretty sure that just, the team that does those ports is like somebody's nephew's company. So.
Yeah.
Very possible. Oh, well. Very, very possible. Oh, man. Yeah, bottom line, though, Dragon Fantasy, got to get that fucking thing on Xbox.
I lost.
What? You what?
I lost, but I made it to only like 300,000 left.
Oh, okay. The trivia. I thought you meant Rocket League. Okay.
No. It was the trivia.
I was scared that you lost your touch for a second.
No.
No, that's not happening. I'm not going to lose my touch at Rocket League.
Nope.
I just went to go sleep in the inn and save, and I got to say, I do love the depiction of the lunatic shopkeepers. They still got the turbans. They're still like
doing their little dance.
Yeah, they got a bee in their hat or something. I don't know what the hell is going on, but I never understood what they were supposed to be doing.
I appreciate that they added like little cutscenes and stuff when you stay at inns now as well. When you have other party members.
Yeah, because you know that's what the original game was missing. I really was just like, boy, I wish there were some more cutscenes in this. Oh, and omnidirectional movement. That's what I really want.
See, they just knew what you wanted, and they set out to fix that.
Yeah.
How do we give this to him?
Oh, man. So aside from Secret of Mana, what have you guys been playing lately?
I've been playing Dragon Quest Builders on the Switch, which is the third time I've played all the way through Dragon Quest Builders, because I fucking love that game. And if you haven't played it, you should stop whatever you're doing right now and play it. It's so goddamn good.
How would you describe it?
Okay, take Dragon Quest,
okay.
Subtract tedious menu battles,
okay.
Which I love, but they are tedious, and add a more like action-oriented combat system and some light Minecraft to it.
Some light Minecraft.
Yeah. So, you know how like Minecraft, the world height is like, what, 512 now? It's at least 256. The world height in Dragon Quest Builders is 32. It's not focused on building the biggest dong in the world. It's just like,
although you could,
the biggest dong in the world,
you could build a really long dong, but it couldn't go up in the sky. And it's more about like taking a block from one place and putting it to another place, and rather than like building crazy structures, it's more like puzzle solving with blocks. It's just, it's the perfect combo for me. Like, it's just enough of that Minecraft taste and a lot of role-playing game taste without being the same old tired RPG mechanics that, you know, realistically I should be bored of by now. And I usually am bored of, but I will suffer through anyway.
suffer through.
Yeah, I'm committed. But I love it. Music's great. Gameplay's great. And the sequel's coming out later, and apparently you're going to be able to import save games from the first one now. So
that's pretty cool. I might check it out now that it's on the Switch. I still wish it would come to Xbox, but I'm sure it'll never happen. So at least I could check it out on the Switch, because I very, very clearly don't want to play anything on PlayStation.
Yeah.
I don't Gee, play Joe, why is that?
I don't know. I just, you know, there's a feeling there.
did you have another meltdown?
I'm at the point now where, like, I basically only want to play games on the Switch.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I'm so bummed that this isn't on the Switch. I would probably play through this version of Secret of Mana if it was on the Switch. But because it's on PlayStation 4 and Steam, which I haven't even plugged my PS4 in for like 6 months, maybe even a year. Not since Dragon Quest XI came out in Japanese. And, you know, I've been playing a shit ton of Switch because I can fit it in my life whenever I want to. The damn thing turns on and plays a video game. It doesn't like turn on and say, oh, you haven't done a system update. Do you want to do a system update? we're going to download this for the next half hour. And the system, you know, like this, the PS4 took like, you know, a minute to boot up. I don't got a minute. By the time a minute's over, I've lost interest.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
Oh, my goddamn minute. I have
the attention span.
Well, I will say, if you have your system unplugged for a number of months, of course it's going to have updates to do.
Oh, sure. Yeah, that is unfair of me.
That is 100% on you.
Yeah.
So you got to stop unhooking it when you go to your figure skating competitions.
I bought a TV in the last 6 months, so my whole stuff is not plugged in. I bought a 4K TV, a 4K OLED TV, and so far all I've played on it is Super Nintendo Classic games.
Well, you have your priorities in check. That's good.
I'll tell you, those look fucking great. The colors on an OLED TV and a Super Nintendo Classic are amazing.
I need a TV again. I don't even have a TV.
I had a projector for the last like 4 years and no TV, so I feel you. It's really hard.
I have my Xbox hooked up to my computer monitor.
Mm-hmm.
I have yet to play my Switch in dock mode.
I rarely have mine docked. It just there's no need to. It's my new Game Boy. you don't need to have it hooked up.
Yeah.
Shit.
They really could have just called it the Game Boy HD and it would have been fine.
Yep, I'd have been fine with it.
If they'd called it like the, you know, Super Game Boy or Game Boy Switch or something, I would love that. I hate that the Game Boy brand hasn't been used in 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
It's such a good brand. Bring it back, Nintendo. Fucking, I don't care what you have to call. When they inevitably do a 4K Switch and they have to call it like don't call it the Switch U.
please don't.
Call it the Switch Game Boy.
Switch U too.
Yeah.
The Switch I.
Yeah. Oh, God. Because you know they're going to come, like, it's mobile parts. NVIDIA made most of the stuff in it. So, like, it's going to be updated every couple of years. I'm sure of it. They gotta figure out their shit with their naming convention and not call it the Switch U or the fucking
the new Super Nintendo Switch.
Yeah, the new
Switch. The new Switch XL.
Yeah.
They gotta drop that
UI 3DS. Just throwing half the alphabet and a few random numbers and it'll work.
Plus alpha. HD Remix.
HD Turbo.
Hyper Mode.
HD Turbo Tournament Edition.
Yep.
You can thank us for
that. I mean, when, too. Yeah, when Street Fighter has better gaming conventions than the actual platforms.
2K19.
I spend all the working on Street Fighter.
Definitive Edition.
Right now.
Remastered.
Yeah, game of the year, Definitive Edition Remastered.
Director's Cut. 14 hours of extra content that no one ever really gives a crap about.
All of these names that we're adding right now, it's got to be for Dragon Fantasy.
Someday, man, I will. I'm doing the Street Fighter 30th Anniversary Collection, and I'm doing other collection stuff, and I'm having a good time doing that. But when you know it's been swell, but when the swelling goes down, I'll probably do. I'm cribbing that
tanker. What other problems have you been having?
Has it been longer than 4 hours?
Get that check. Yeah.
It's always longer.
Consult a medical physician. I know my secret.
It's always longer than 4 hours.
Giggity.
That's what happens when you watch too much figure skating, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my lord.
That gives me a boner.
So how is the Street Fighter collection going? What's the release date on that? We should probably mention like something that you're working on.
I think they did announce the release date, but I don't know what it is, and I'm not 100% sure. But if you can Google it and it says a date, then we're going to hit that, because we finished 1.0, you know, a while back, and we're working on like day one patch stuff now. I mean,
it just says May.
Yeah, that sounds right.
May 2018.
Yeah, I can't say too much about like the release and all that jazz, but I'm really happy with where it is. And we're working on new features already, so I think it's going to be an exciting game for people.
So tell us what kind of fun stuff is in there.
I'm trying to think what has been publicly announced, because I'm not the biz dev guy for Digital Eclipse, and I'm certainly not the biz dev guy for Capcom, but
just look at the wiki page.
Yeah, just tell me what's in it, and I'll
do it. Well, according to the wiki
Adam,
page.
The rumors are that it includes 12 games from the Street Fighter series. Word on the street is that the original Street Fighter is in there.
Yep.
5 versions of Street Fighter 2.
What?
Yeah, Street Fighter 2 The World Warrior, Street Fighter 2 Champion Edition, Street Fighter 2 Turbo Hyper Fighting, Super Street Fighter 2, and Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo.
Yep. So yeah, I was going to say, no, there's only 3 versions, but that's because we consider the Super Street Fighter games and the Street Fighter 2 games to be different series, kind of. Is Super Street Fighter 2 and Street Fighter 2, from a technical perspective, share very little. It's like, it's almost like a remake. Like they did a remake a year later or something. It's crazy. Those are in there. And if you're reading it from the internet, I'm pretty sure that's been announced. No, please don't make me get fired, Capcom.
I'm just reading off Wikipedia, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, that seems legit then.
3 versions of Street Fighter Alpha. Alpha 1, Alpha 2, and Alpha 3. And then Street Fighter 3 New Generation, Second Impact, and Third Strike.
Yep.
So why are there so many goddamn versions of the same game?
Ask Capcom.
I mean, like, 'cause they were made back in a time when you couldn't do live updates.
Yeah, basically. I don't know, but the goal with this is to be, you know, if not a exhaustive collection of everything that they ever did, because I think there's more revisions of these games than even that, but like minor ones. But we want to cover the history of it. We don't want to do, like, I'm not worried about it being the best version of the game to play in one way or the other. Like, I don't want to just give you the best Street Fighter 3. I want to give you the history of Street Fighter 3. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Street Fighter 2. Like, if you can't play the original version of Street Fighter 2, you can only play the Turbo Edition or whatever. You're not getting the whole history of it. And we're historians more than anything, I think. So, you know, that's why there's 12 versions of what is essentially five games. And that's why Street Fighter 1 is in there, despite the fact that I don't think anybody actually wants to play Street Fighter 1.
Yeah, no one at all, ever.
Yeah. I wish we could have found... Apparently, they had like a pressure-sensitive button for punch and kick in the in one version of the arcade. So like if you pressed it lightly, it was a light punch. And if you just mashed it, it was a heavy punch. And in the middle, it was medium.
Hmm.
But apparently, it never worked right. You know,
and of course,
I'm not shocked.
People
by that.
Smashing on those buttons in the arcade. Mm-hmm. I'm sure the sensitivity got crushed after so much gameplay.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
All I care about is I want to be able to play Third Strike on my Switch.
Which you'll be able to,
according to Wikipedia.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right, then. Yeah.
Also, according to Wikipedia, Third Strike will have online play.
Oh my god! Yeah, that's dope.
What was it like getting these old games, Street Fighter II Turbo Hyper Fighting, Super Street Fighter II Turbo, Street Fighter Alpha 3, and Third Strike? What was it like getting online multiplayer into those?
Well, I didn't work on it, that part of it.
Oh, well, fucking whatever then.
Yeah, but... And I don't want to talk too much about the online stuff because I think they probably care a lot about that. But I can tell you that I've watched a friend of mine spend an enormous amount of time working on it. And I'm certain he's looking forward to it being released. So he's not working on it anymore.
I mean, it would be crazy to assume that they would go all the way up to 4, right? Like, 4 is not going to be in it?
No.
Yeah, no, 4 is not in it. I do think I heard something about... Well, actually, I probably shouldn't say anything I think I've heard, so...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because
you know someone's going to...
Dude, even if they ported 4 as a separate game, I would buy it.
Yeah.
4 was good. I really enjoyed it. Like, Super 4. Or Ultra 4. Yeah,
keep forgetting. Ultra Hyper Alpha 4.
Yeah.
On the bright side, at least you could play the 360 versions on the Xbox One.
I just want to play as Yuri. Yuri was my favorite.
Okay, well, if you have it for Xbox One or for Xbox 360,
I have it on PC.
I can definitely say that.
I could play it, but then I could play it on the go. Like that's like literally like you guys realize that like the Switch, its entire popularity is just. Well, yeah, but you could already play that. Yeah, but now I can play it wherever.
Now I can play Skyrim on the go. Now I can play Doom on the go. Now I can play Breath of the Wild on the go.
Oh. And so supposedly, that one leak or rumor that you sent me, like maybe there's going to be some Diablo on there soon. So, yeah, dude, I would lose my shit. I would lose my shit.
Diablo 1 or Diablo 3?
3.
Three.
That's cool, too.
Oh, playing Diablo 3 in the bathroom? Yeah, I guess you would literally lose your shit.
It's the best poop time console of all time.
It is.
Pretty much.
It like, really is.
The Vita was great. Ultimately, I should like the 3DS better, and I like the games on the 3DS better, but the Vita console itself was fucking perfect, except it didn't plug into a TV. The PSTV came way too little too late, but...
My biggest gripe with the PSTV is how limited it is. Like, how many games are completely locked out from being used on it?
Yeah, right.
Even games that, like, didn't even require touchscreen, or even how many PlayStation 1 games are locked out of it. It's shitty.
Yeah. Yeah.
Such a missed opportunity. And yeah, as much as I shit on the PS4, I love the Vita. I've always loved
it. The Vita was an amazing piece of hardware, and I wish it would have gotten utilized more.
Yeah.
Yeah, people think I hate Sony. I don't hate, I dislike Sony for their hardware stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
But I hate the PS4. I think it is an awful system, but I love my Vita.
Mm-hmm.
I love PS2 as well, PS1.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's not to discredit the PS2, because the PS2 is fucking incredible as well. So, I share the same sentiment.
What hate again? Like, hardware? Is it did it break on you a bunch of times?
PS4? I'm on my 7th.
Okay, wow. Jesus Christ, yeah, what the 7th. Fuck do? Are you rubbing yourself?
I rarely use it. That's what I do. I barely touch the thing.
I could assure you, like, I lived with him for a while. Everything that he does, like, he takes care of his stuff. Like, he does. And it's just, dude, for whatever it is, like, and you're not the only person that I know that has gone through a handful of PlayStations, of PS4s. Mm-hmm.
Every Sony system, except the Vita, has had problems, like massive problems. PlayStation 1 had the plastic track that the laser ran on, so you had to eventually flip the thing upside down to actually play games. PS2s had the disc read errors that led to a class action lawsuit that Sony ended up settling. PlayStation 3 had the yellow light of death, as well as more disc read issues with the earlier models. Oh yeah, overheating was a big one. PS4 had the blue light of death, overheating like a motherfucker, ungodly loud fans on like half the models because apparently they only did good thermal paste on half of them, maybe. Let's see, even the PlayStation 3D display, remember when they were big with the 3D display and like Motor Storm was with it? Those were incredibly faulty.
Yeah, because Tim had one.
So Sony sold a 3D TV that worked with the PlayStation 3, and like the big thing with that you could have two player on one TV
full screen.
Because it would be 3D. Person wears glasses. Yeah.
Oh, so one person, like it was a lenticular lockout.
It was cool, the active shutter lenses.
Yeah.
Tim and I played MotorStorm on it. Like, dude, it was sweet. It was awesome.
Was it?
Yeah, but the TVs were awful. They were awful
and they were small. They were very small. He used it as a computer monitor.
It seems like a good idea, but like not one that I don't think the technology exists for that to be a good experience today.
Well, the world kind of gave up on 3D, so
yeah.
You know, what are you going to do there? But
especially with the advent of all the virtual platforms coming out.
Yeah. Oh man. And then the PSP, that was the one where the square button on the pad or on the board was like halfway under the screen and didn't work properly a lot of the time.
I remember that
because that was very well done. Even the PlayStation VR, the fucking lenses on the thing are cheap plastic. If one person ever puts on that headset and they have glasses on, it's scratched completely. So, yeah, pretty much everything Sony puts out is garbage. And then, of course, I have always hated the DualShock controller. It is the worst controller in my eyes on the planet. I hate the analog sticks both being down low instead of, you know, the left one being where your thumb would naturally rest on a controller.
I have to stretch it down. Exactly. Said about that, like I prefer the D-pad as being like
the default.
One of my first complaints that I didn't even say about Secret of Mana was that like I can't use the damn D-pad, and that makes me so sad. I love D-pads.
Yeah,
so I like D-pads.
I like them in the place of honor, but I get it. I get that that's probably not the way video games are for most people today, but. That's my
D-pad preference. Just isn't the default control method anymore. It's just how games have become.
No, you're true. Right.
But true. It also depends on like, you know, what you grew up on.
Yeah.
I don't mind the DualShock 2s that much. I don't like the 3s and I don't like the 4s. Cuz the 3s I don't like the triggers. I hate the triggers on the 3s. Mm-hmm. And the 4 is like just everything. I hate that fucking controller.
Yeah, I like the DualShock 4, but I like it less than I like the DualShock, you know, 3. And I mean, I don't really I can't tell the difference between a DualShock 2 and a DualShock 3 if I just like look at it from a distance. But like,
it's always the triggers.
Yeah.
No.
The redesign of the DualShock family with the PlayStation 4 didn't improve anything for me, and it made a couple of things worse. And I don't know what the fuck they were thinking with this stupid touchpad on here.
Yeah, seriously. And the goddamn light.
Oh, God, the light. Yeah.
And a share button. Every time I go to hit, like, select, I open up the fucking stream menu. Ugh.
I did that today. I would love to see them, you know, when they do a PlayStation 5 inevitably, I'd love to see them go back. You know, just give up on the little touchpad. No one uses that. That's bullshit.
You would like to see them go back. I would like to see them go under. No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't want to see that.
You don't want to see a video game industry with no competition. Trust me on that.
True. I would say my biggest gripe with Sony these days is just how anti-consumer they are as a company. Especially when it comes to all the crossplay stuff, that they are just they are the branch in the tire that just flips you over the bike, and they're ruining everything.
You either hold on to our dick or you don't get to do anything at all.
And just their excuse that, oh, well, we're concerned about the safety of our players.
Bullshit.
Yet Nintendo is on board.
Yeah, I hate anything that's, you know, worrying about the safety of players. That excuse drives me nuts in all circumstances. Because realistically, it's not that hard to protect people.
Well, we all know Sony's not very good at protecting things.
No, they're not.
No.
Especially really customer not. Data.
You're not wrong.
Well, we have all of our paper hard copies just, you know, in a pile out back the offices over next to the dumpster.
Basically.
Yeah. They'll be fine there. They'll be fine there.
I just love when people tell me that I hate Sony for no reason. Like, if I hated them if I hated them for no reason, I wouldn't own a PS4. I wouldn't own a PS4 Pro. I don't just have a PS4. I have a Pro. I wouldn't own a PlayStation VR if I hated them for no reason. Like, I want to like it. I own it because I want to.
They're just not giving you reasons to like them.
Yeah.
I hate the system.
You're trying to give them the benefit of the doubt. But
and people try to say, oh, I love the UI of the PlayStation 4. Are you fucking serious? A line of icons is a good UI? Blow me.
Terrible.
Fucking I mean, I'll Jesus. Say I love the UI of the Switch, and it's essentially the same thing, but it's so much quicker and easier and less complicated.
Yeah.
There's I less like the Switch. Bullshit.
Let's call a spade a spade. I hate the Xbox One. I think it's fucking horrible. Like, I think it's the worst out of all of them.
I don't think it's anywhere near as bad as the PS4.
I think it's worse. It's super cluttered. It's not this. It's not like it doesn't really tell you where to go with what you want to try and get to. You know what I mean? So at least like the PlayStation 1 is just kind of like, all right, if it's not over here, I'll just keep scrolling to the right until I find it.
What are you having a hard time finding on the Xbox? Because everything, like, you turn it on, you hit down once, and that's my games and apps. Everything is there.
Down, wait, did they change that then?
When's the last time you turned on your Xbox?
Today, but I launched right into Rocket League, so it's...
Like, seriously, turn the system on, and, you know, the main thing is your most recent app.
I thought the pins were there.
You hit down on the D-pad one time, and it takes you to my games and apps. That icon right there is my games and apps.
Yeah, and I can attest as someone who rarely ever touches a console anymore that, you know, navigating through most of his stuff is fairly easy. I mean, the only time I've ever had to ask be like, hey,
well,
Joe.
Well, see, I don't know if it's just because I have an older Xbox, but my UI takes forever to fucking load.
Oh, like, might be it.
Forever. I mean, again, I still enjoy my system, and I have no reason to get rid of it. I do play it occasionally, and I'm still getting my free games. You know, I may finally give, Shadow Warrior? Might finally give that a shot, because everybody's told me that it was pretty fun.
It is. It's pretty good.
Yeah, but, I forgot I even had that.
Yep, and I just got my crazy taxi for free too, which that's nice. A good bonus.
Yeah.
Oh, did you hear about next month's games?
It wasn't Trials of the Blood Dragon one and like
Trials of the Blood Dragon, the Super Hot.
Oh, and Super Hot. I play Super Hot.
Quantum Conundrum and Disney and Pixar's Brave the video game.
Oh yay.
Hell yeah, man.
I actually really wanted to play Super Hot. I kinda wanna play it in VR more.
Super hot.
Because dude, every single playthrough that I've seen of the VR version of Super Hot looks infinitely more interesting.
Yeah. I wonder if it's on sale on PlayStation.
For the VR thing?
Yeah. Because funny enough, remember how Amazon, we had that whole bullshit happen with our account getting hacked into?
Yeah, with the cards or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
One of the codes was never used.
Whoa.
Yeah, one of the $100 PlayStation Network cards that whoever it was ordered them, one of them was just never used.
Well then.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
So I have a whole bunch of extra credit. it is on sale. Instead of $25, it's $18.74
for the VR version.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's probably dope.
Or the bundle of both of them for $29.99, but I don't need the normal.
No. If you've got the VR version, you go straight for the VR version.
So Chris, when are you coming over to play this?
Sometime. I mean, at the very, very worst case scenario, it looks like I'll be out of a job in June. So
there we go. Thank you. Your purchase is complete. Download to PS4.
So
here we go, Chris. I now have Super Hot VR. So come on over and play it. And you could tell us what you think of it.
Well, I mean, you should try it too. I'm curious to see what you think of it. It looks fucking awesome. It looks really fucking cool.
That requires me playing a PlayStation.
Yeah. It's not necessarily that bad of a thing.
I know. I'm just joshing you.
Just joshing?
Yeah.
No, I gotta
a prank, bro.
Fucking Zelda game. I want to try and finish that tonight. Really, really bad.
It's just a prank, bro.
It's just a prank, bro. I'll come. Oh, there's a bunch of stuff that I still have to scan your fucking amiibos.
Yeah, come the fuck over. Like, visit. Jesus Christ.
There's so many games that I need.
You don't live an hour and a half away from me anymore. Come fucking visit.
No, I was going to come over after I told you I hung out with Chris, but like him and Stacy wanted me to play Trouble. The board game.
Oh
with
God!
Bubbles.
Trouble.
Yeah, it was actually kind of fun. It was a good like casual board game because you don't have to pay too much attention as to like what's going on. So, and I couldn't remember the last time that I actually played Trouble. So I'm like, you know what? Yeah, I'm down for that.
Dark Meek in chat. Give me your PlayStation. I'll play it for you so you can live vicariously through me. And she's also looking forward to Super Hot and Brave. Nice.
Yeah, Super Hot's going to be.
The only PlayStation thing I like is all their fucking stupid asshole exclusives. It's a good way to put it.
See, but even then, like, because I've considered getting a PlayStation 4, like a regular PlayStation 4, for a little while now just to play some of the exclusives. And then I'm like, all right, what am I really missing out on? I'm missing out on Horizon Zero Dawn. I'm missing out on what? Fucking like God of War?
Which no. They, oh, did you hear when that comes out?
No.
420, bro.
I'll be in Boston. Yeah, I'll be in Boston.
No, I'll be at home, maybe playing God of War.
Maybe playing God of War.
I mean, I'm getting it. I just don't know if I'm going to play it.
I was going to say, you have a back catalog. You have quite the back catalog.
I do. I have way too much.
Yeah. What else was there for PlayStation that was really like the big? Well, I never played like Infamous.
Last of Us, Nier, well, yeah, Persona.
Was it the
Crash Bandicoot remake thing?
Yeah, but that's gonna get ported to other stuff too soon.
No.
That's why it's like, all right, yeah, they might have exclusivity for a little while, but I can eventually get it on something else.
Yeah, wasn't that supposed to come out on Xbox at the same time?
Not at the same time. They definitely had exclusivity, but there's been some screenshots of the newer Crash with like Xbox controller prompts.
Yeah, there was a GIF that showed up a couple of months back that showed someone playing it with the Xbox controller prompts. The current rumor is that it was a 1 year exclusive, which will end in the next couple of months. And that it would be showing up on PC and Switch. Those were the only two that were explicitly mentioned, but given it's Activision and they are whores for money, I fully expect it to show up on, everything.
But even then, even if it only shows up on PC and Switch, those are the other two things I have. So, I mean, I don't know. That would actually be, it would be a toss up. I would want to put it on the Switch so that I could play it whenever I want. However, I would also want to put it on my PC just to see how fucking awesome I can get it to run. Like,
I would go, if it came down to just the two, I would probably go Switch.
I would probably end up going Switch.
Yeah, but if you didn't get a PlayStation, you wouldn't be able to play, where is it? Fat Princess Adventures. That's PS4 exclusive, man.
Yeah, like, I don't know, man. Like, there's just not enough. Bloodborne might be cool, like, but it's not enough for me to want to get a whole fucking system. Especially not to mention, like, I don't even have a goddamn TV to put it in.
I mean, I was going to say, like, I mean, if you're looking for a game like that, then just go with the
Dark Souls. Yeah.
Dark Souls, yeah. Just go with the Dark Souls trilogy.
Which now, DLC. I might even be able to, I'm going to be able to get on the Switch. So, like, fucking whatever.
I don't know. I think Dark Souls Remastered is going to be kind of poopy on the Switch.
Even if it is kind of poopy, it'll be the right kind of poopy.
I mean, because
let's be honest, the first Dark Souls, it was pretty rough.
I tried playing that, emphasis on tried, but like between watching people play 3 and trying to play 1.
Yeah, it's tough. It's very tough. I don't know. I think I'm good. Well, even for how little I boot up my Xbox, like I just can't justify a full-blown system, especially when like I'm even just on PC alone, I only play four or five games and it takes up pretty much all of my gaming time. I don't necessarily need a whole nother system just for a handful of games. Like I could just pick up another game for something that I already have,
or you could just come over here and play them,
or that. Yeah.
Now that you know,
I
you're
could basically
not
go down to block a Joe Buster.
Yeah.
And I can just like
Joe Buster. Video.
Hey Joe. I'm gonna play this game for a little bit.
That's
fine. I have it here. You can open it up from the plastic.
I open my games.
I have when I come to visit. Because I'll jump on this Xbox and it's like, okay, well you have like 4,000 games. Which one do I want to play? And I'll sit there and I'll spend like more time picking a game to play around with.
Oh yeah, that's me actually every single playing. Time. I'm so overwhelmed. I'm like, Joe will be like, here, yeah, just pick anything you want to play, and I'll just be like, I don't know what to do.
I can't make these decisions.
Yeah,
yeah. And asking him for input isn't any good because he hasn't played half of them himself.
Right. He's like,
oh, it was for free, so I just fucking grabbed it. Oh, yeah. Well. Okay.
Yeah.
There was a way that if you logged in through the Chinese servers, you were able to get it for $1.75.
I don't do shit like that. The only stuff I buy from foreign stores is stuff you could only get overseas.
Yeah. Same here.
Yeah. That's the only, like, I think, what was it? Earth Wars. I got that before it was brought over to America because no one thought it was going to come over.
Good job covering your ass.
So I bought that one from the Japanese store.
Yeah, stop listening in, FBI. Nothing to see here.
Oh, man. Anyway, we've been chatting for a good while. I'm going to at least wrap up this part of the show. So, Adam, do you have any final words to just end this part of the show? Good enough. Welcome back, everyone. Thanks for hanging around. Thanks again to Chris and Adam and Ian for dropping by and hanging out for the first half of the show. But we got reviews to take care of. We are starting things off. Chris Taylor, how are you doing, man?
Hey, I'm doing all right. Just hanging out.
Just chilling.
Yeah.
Chilling like a villain.
Yeah, just been lazily watching people play RPGs on Twitch instead of playing them myself.
Dude, I've had so many games that I need to play this week, and I've either been watching Twitch or thank God the Olympics are over, because for 2 weeks that, like, my productivity was gone completely.
Apparently curling really took over this year.
Fuck yeah. Yes.
But that's,
yes.
But that's mostly because I get all of my Olympic news from Mr. T on Twitter, and he's all about curling. So
in the first half of the show, when I was talking with the other guys, I mentioned during the round robin play for curling, they would have four games going on at once because, you know, the way that the Olympic curling arena or rink is set up is that they have four different, you know, I don't know what they're called, lanes for curling, whatever. They had four different ones so that they could have four games going at once. I had two games on my right monitor. I had a third game on my left monitor, and my phone had the fourth. That's the fucking problem I had.
So you're doing it upright.
Well, I was, but now it's all over. I'm going through curling withdrawal. So instead, we're going to talk about Vidya games. Sound good?
Hooray. Yeah.
Cool.
I think that's good reason to be here.
Pretty much. So let us start off with your specialty, with Machine Knight, developed by Hit Point Company, published by Kemco, obviously.
Kemco. Need an echo effect.
Kemco.
Put it in post.
Too lazy. This one released February 15th on the 3DS for $9.99. To save his dying world from energy shortages, Brain travels through a mysterious gate in an attempt to find a solution. Waiting for him are treachery and betrayal, not the treachery and betrayal.
Sure, it could just be the one.
Well, possibly. Despite this, two heroines,
that's how it's actually pronounced.
Is
it? People have been doing it wrong, yeah. People think heroine, but it's heroine.
Heroines.
Yeah, two heroines.
Learning something. Bell and Alin support Frayn through his troubles. More determined than ever, they set out to defeat the dark forces and save the world beyond the gate. Chris, tell me about Machine Knight.
Okay, so Machine Knight is of course, the return of the perennial Kemco RPG on the 3DS and, conversion from a mobile game that might have only been released in Japan. I don't know. But this one, like, normally the Kemco games I review are the Kemco X-Create set. So, like, your Dragon Sinker and your Revenant Saga and all those. This is the other side of Kemco's RPG Factory, and not to be confused with, I guess, Tokyo RPG Factory. But yeah, so the Hit Point ones, it's like Cristorino and Bonds of the Skies, both of which I've covered. So this is, I think, the third game they've come out with, and you can tell how improved it is by how much better the ponchos look. Because I guess they're trying to work themselves up to where the poncho is like their Dragon Quest slime, you know? It's the first enemy you run into, and it's adorable looking, and it's just getting bigger and bigger in the battle screens, because their battle sprites keep getting more and more detailed. And that's actually one that I really like on this one. The battles look really good for this being a Dragon Quest style game. They're animated in several parts, so like limbs kind of move independent of each other and stuff in this kind of, you know, the style of animation that looks like just several paper cutouts like laid over each other.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so it's got that kind of cool look to it. This one, yeah, I mean, like, if there's any real link between all of the Hit Point games, it's ponchos. which, again, it's a little round bird looking thing with like this kind of anime face. Like it looks like an emoji, basically.
Nice.
It has a very pointy nose that hardly even looks three dimensional. And then, of course, the weird names. So we've got, you know, Frayne instead of what was it? Rian Ilks from Bonds of the Sky, I think. So
too many crazy names for me.
Yeah. What they've changed in this one, but what I really like about this one on the onset is that the story is a lot more serious, and I think that they're really getting a lot better at sort of building up the characters, because they really seem to have it set up to where you're just going to be stuck with the same three people for the whole game. So they do a really good job making them actually relate to each other, and it's not just, you know, collect these characters and then just walk through the game kind of thing. Like it's got like real honest to goodness flashbacks and relationship arcs and things like that. So I like that. They're getting real serious on the storytelling, which you usually don't see in $10 RPGs. I'm just going to say that right now. Like, true. I love Dragon Sinker to death, but the fact that you can basically write the story yourself is indicative of the kind of thought that tends to go into these stories. Another thing I like is that they've introduced, or well, no, they introduced it a couple games ago, but made it a little more of a focal point that in this game you do a lot of material gathering and you use it to improve weapons that you buy, and also sort of like, I guess, learn how to make new items. I haven't quite got to the part where you can make new items, but you can like turn your spear into a spear +3, but you have to find the book of spears, and then you have to find the requisite materials, which are scattered all across the dungeons, which thankfully, like the other games, the large amount of like treasures and secrets that you can find are all right there on the touchscreen map on the bottom screen. So as long as you walk into every room and look around, then you'll find all the treasures and stuff. So the other thing, I'm not sure that they even put this in the other two games, but I found it quite beneficial. They now have a battle fast forward button. So if you're sitting there just grinding, or you just want to get through an area quickly, you can now double or triple the speed of your fights, which of course can be set to auto.
Nice.
So it's they're really starting, I think, to distill the essence of this being a portable RPG that you can just sit there and play on the run.
Cool. So any downsides to this one?
Well, I'm a little spoiled on the X-Create model, which is to say X-Create always has the push the L button to review like the last 10 things that were said in dialogue. This one doesn't have a dialogue repeater. Like it's a little light on those really convenient features like that. But I mean, that's a whole different developer. So yeah. There's no real downside. I will say probably like the other two, the animation when you're walking around outside and such is pretty choppy. Seems to be the story with all these, a lot of these Kemco games that were developed for mobile games and then ported to the 3DS. They have that little bit of jitteriness to the outworld, like scrolling and things like that. You know, still Dragon Sinker is the one since it was developed first on, I think, 3DS or something, it's really smooth. So this one is a little smoother than Cristorino. About the same as Bonds of the Skies, but basically, you know, don't focus too hard on it while you're moving. You'll make yourself dizzy.
Nice. So $10 on this one. What is your verdict?
$10. Yeah, go ahead and get it. I mean, if you're the kind who like these, who likes a nice, you know, Super Nintendo style RPG adventure with, you know, excellent music, fun battles, good storyline, you know, a little cheaper on presentation, but all overall with a lot of heart, then pick this one up. And, you know, and also if you've been playing like Cristorino and Bonds of the Sky and you like those, this one's improved in almost every way. So
awesome.
Pick it up.
Sounds good. Next game to talk about is called Rally Racers, developed by West Coast Games, published by System 3 Software. This one came out January 11th on the Switch for $9.99. Rally Racers is a cartoon-based family fun car racing game with, quote, wacky racer Reese. I don't know what that means.
He's a guy.
Oh, is he a guy?
He's just this guy, you know?
So wacky racer Reese and his gang battling with his evil brother Droog and his henchmen. Chris, tell me about this one.
I really wish I had a brother named Droog and his henchmen. Okay, so Rally Racers. This is actually the one I think I put the most time in because it was pretty darn fun. But yeah, you do play as this guy, and it's basically a sort of, I want to call it like a variety racing game. So it mostly reminded me of my favorite racing game of all time, Excite Truck. That Wii launch title that nobody liked except for me, and I like played it obsessively for years. I don't think I've ever heard
anyone say that was their favorite racing game.
It's, well, I mean, it's up there. It's up there with, like, you know, your F-Zero and Rock and Roll Racing, which were my other favorites. Yeah, no, I love Excite Truck, like, so much. Like, it is really, 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 really good. But nobody else cares.
I liked it. I just wouldn't call it one of my favorite racing games.
Yeah, I played that so much. I, like, got gold medals on everything. And nice. Anyway. So, it reminds me of that in the sense that you race, but the point is not to just come into first place. You don't even have to place at all in order to achieve something. Huh. So they had these tracks laid out. They're actually three or four. It looked like it might have been straight up four, but it's like three or four courses, or sorry, tracks per course, with different, basically you go into different paths on these things. So they vary slightly between levels, but each one, they have scattered around like all kinds of wacky stuff, like, you know, dynamite boxes and ramps and oranges that you collect. Like, a point of the game is to collect all these giant smiling oranges that are scattered across the track,
which is what happens in racing games. Usually.
Yes. Well, rally racing games. Yeah. You won't see those on your F1 racing. Not yet. But anyways, so yeah, you bash through all these things. A lot of the game is, or a lot of the racing is not only controlling your vehicle, which you actually accelerate and brake with the shoulder pad buttons instead of the face buttons, which is interesting. But that makes for a like thing where you can, now, what was I going to say? I was going to say so that you could put it in like one of the steering wheel attachments, but now that I think about it, I don't think those work that way. But so, yeah, your right trigger is your accelerator and your left trigger is your brake.
I mean, that's how most modern racing games are now. Mario Kart seems like the oddball that doesn't do that.
I see. So they're the odd man out.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but with your face buttons, what you use is you can shoot. You can pick up items like in Mario Kart, and you can, like, different kinds of guns and cannons and explosives and things like that. And you can either lay them behind you or shoot them forward. Some weapons only work in one direction; some work in both. And then you have a booster button, which is really essential. So. The key is in the game to basically boost as often as possible, because the other racers are they kind of get a leg up on you as far as like being able to just outrun you. So anytime that you break through something, including like palm trees, which just kind of fall over like paper, or explosive boxes or just regular boxes or running into basically anything, it only allows you to go off the course for 2 seconds, unlike Excite Truck, but you know, it puts you right back into the action if you stray. So that's really cool. And but anything that you run into basically makes your boost go up. So the other thing about it is that if you catch air at any point, like jumping off a ramp or getting exploded or anything like that, you can actually use the sticks in a really simple way to do wave race style stunts. And when you do stunts, that also boosts your boost meter. And so it ends up being this thing, like I said, just like Excite Truck, where you end up doing all this other stuff besides just accelerating towards the goal and, you know, dodging things. And again, it's basically they give you three different kinds of trophies in the races. So one for whether you placed first or last or whatever, if you got enough oranges and if you pulled enough stunts. And everything that you do in the race, even if you do none of these things, they award you points at the end that can be traded for other cars, other companions, which are actually going to be animals that sit in your car. And by default, it's a sheep, but you can unlock things like a giraffe. And they give you certain status immunities or status effects, or, you know, they augment your car in different ways. And you can even buy new cars. And also, you can, I guess it's bribing some of Droog's henchmen to be on your side so that they won't attack you in the races. So lots and lots of things that you can do. Like, basically, it's a game of unlockables. So, again, like Excite Truck. And it's a game that keeps you coming back for more because they really make you work hard to unlock some of those things. So you end up replaying tracks like quite a lot, trying to collect all the points. And in doing so, you wind up being a much better racer.
Nice. So overall, this sounds really solid. Any kind of negatives to it?
Just like the last game, it's the only problem I had was with the frame rate. It definitely kind of chugs as far as like the graphics go. It seems like it's trying to push a little too much, but I mean, it is an early build of the game, so maybe that's something they'll address later. But I will say, if you're looking for like a smooth 60 frame per second racer, this is not that. However, it's not detrimental to the actual gameplay, and you can still have a lot of fun with it.
Nice. Sounds but good.
It's not the high definition hit of the year or anything like that.
Well, it's a $10 game, so yeah. I might pick that one up myself. It sounds really good.
Yeah, the other thing that I really wish that it had was multiplayer, because I didn't find any multiplayer on it whatsoever. No couch multiplayer, no online. So, I mean, unless I'm looking in the wrong place, it seems like it's just a single player type thing. But again, it's really fun, and you know, you can play it on the go, so that's definitely good.
Cool. So, $10 verdict?
Yeah, go ahead and get it. If you're looking for a top-of-the-line racer, then it's probably not your guy. But if you liked Excite Truck, Excite Bots, Trick Racing, or Wave Race 64, actually, it was kind of reminiscent of that as well. If you liked any of those, like, kind of, like I said, variety racers, then this one's a really good one to pick up.
Sounds good. All right, next game to talk about is called Disc Jam, developed and published by High Horse Entertainment, released February 8th on the Switch for $14.99. A fast-paced action sports game that pits 2 to 4 players against each other in a frantic combination of air hockey and tennis. Players scramble to retrieve and throw a glowing disc while unleashing devastating abilities and defending their end zone. Chris, what is Disc Jam?
Disc Jam, it's basically 3D wind jammers. Good night.
All right. No, I was going to say, what is Disc Jam except it's something that is really tough to not call Dick Jam by accident?
Oh, I know. I called it that so many times. No.
Dick okay, Jam.
So Dick's Jam is it's an erotic anime adventure, point and click puzzle solving thing where
nice.
You investigate the mystery of the jammed dicks. Okay, so this is a sports game. Like I said, it's basically another take on like your kind of ultimate frisbee sort of, you know, sort of thing. It plays very much like tennis rules, except that you actually do want to hit things out of bounds. You're trying to hit the rear area of what looks like a tennis court. And yeah, you use a disc. The thing is presented in a 3D look, sort of behind the shoulder of your player. Can be done as a singles or a doubles style deal. And just like rally racers, actually, it has a million and million zillion and one unlockables. Like, I think the only thing that you actually don't have to unlock is your country's flag. You can actually choose from all of those from the get-go. Nice. Although it would have been nice if they would have hid, like, Paraguay behind a paywall or something like that just to mess with them.
So dickish.
Yeah. So, yes, it is a game that basically your experience with this one, it seems to largely be based on online play. Whereas Rally Racer is really neglecting the multiplayer aspect, this game kind of neglects the single player aspect, because while I did eventually found I did find a way to actually play the game with a computer AI opponent by yourself, it's actually kind of not hidden, but obscured. So you go through like the tutorial mode and learn all the moves. There's a great amount of moves, like everything from like spinning the stick around before you throw the disc to get like this sort of, you know, this special movement going, to, you know, throwing curves, throwing straights, trying to volley it into the opponent's court. You can dive for it. You can even pull up a laser shield to block the disc. And if you catch it on the rebound, you can then throw it and it's all on fire and stuff. It's just one of those like extreme, like Mario Tennis style, like you can do all this kind of crazy stuff with it. And so there's no lack of that. And in fact, it actually was harder for me to get through the tutorial, like the advanced mode tutorial, than it was to get through the actual game. So,
oh wow.
That's just to give you an idea of like the sheer scale of like complicated moves you can pull in this game. They definitely didn't pull any punches there. But using very simple, like, you know, just artful like throwing and dodging and things like that, you can actually still win against computer opponents, because this game is new and nobody's like amazing at it yet.
Like, which is always good.
Yeah. I wound up winning about as often as I lost with other players who had clearly been playing this for like a couple of days. So that's if you want to be new at this, then you better get on it quick. if you want to like get good at the same time that everyone else is. But yeah, there's actually also, so, you know, it puts you in an online mode. Again, you can choose single or doubles and just keep playing. And it has an online rank, so your rank can go up online, because you are competing globally. And if you choose, you can actually just play against ghost opponents, which the game tells you they actually are not like AI programmed. They're programmed based on the playing habits of the online players. So, like, I guess they take what real people are doing and they kind of mash that into a ghost. So that's kind of interesting, I guess. Yeah.
So is there any kind of single player campaign or anything for a single person to play, or is this pretty much going to have to be online?
I think that it's just online. Like, I could only find that ghost mode for a single player. There's no clear campaign of any kind. Even online, you're playing for rank, so it doesn't like present you with any kind of story. All the characters except for four are locked up, so you have to like play for points. Basically, you get points every time you play, so it's not a big deal to eventually unlock everything. But yeah, it seems to be that it's a game that's just all about the game. There's not any kind of you know, frills about it. Which, you know, I found that to be a little odd, that it didn't really feature any kind of single player like thing, because I've rarely come across that in any kind of games. So
nice. So $15 on this one. What do you think?
$15. If you are the kind who likes to play like really good, you know, tennis style games, and you want to rise through the ranks online and play against real people, which, by the way, there's no interaction. It's Nintendo style multiplayer. You just see like screen names. But yeah, if that is the kind of thing for you, then that's great. If you are one who's going to be playing a lot on the go and you don't really connect online, and, you know, like me, then you might find a limited appeal in this one, because it's really just going to be mashing ghost mode, you know, over and over.
Sounds good. Yeah. This one sounds like, I don't know, if you're by yourself, it might not be worth picking up, but
yeah,
might be a good game.
Well, yeah. It does have couch multiplayer, so you've at least got that going for it.
You can lose some friends during a party.
Hooray. Yeah. And I'm not sure, I didn't actually do my duty in checking if offline mode requires more than one Switch. But it says 2 to 4 players on the front of the game, so I imagine that you can probably manage it with multiple controllers.
Yeah, I would hope so. But you got one more game to talk about, and that is called North, developed by Outlands, published by Sometimes You. This one is coming out March 6th on Xbox One for $4.99, also on the Switch, PS4, and Vita for $2.99. And I will touch on that in just a moment. In North, you play as a man who applies for asylum in a city filled with strange creatures and strange customs, dealing with the issue of contemporary refugee crisis, while at the same time being deeply rooted in a classical cyberpunk atmosphere a la Blade Runner. North features a dark synth pop soundtrack, a sprawling megacity, and weird monster-like inhabitants. The price thing, from what I have gathered, talking to various developers, Microsoft is trying to crack down on super cheap games with achievements, because people would put out like $2-3 games with 1,000 achievement points. And Microsoft sees that as just devaluing these games. So I know we recently covered the game Tiles that came out at $4. It looks like anything from Sometimes You anymore, if it's coming to Xbox, is going to be at least $5. It seems like that's now their magical cutoff point. So that is the price issue. Personally, I would rather pay $2 and have it on the console than to not get it. That's my opinion.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's fine. But I mean, figured, between figured three that and had $5 to get
addressed. Yeah. But
I'm not going to sneeze at between $3 and $5. It's like, if it's a $5 game I want, I'm going to buy it for $5.
But what is North?
Oh man, North. Well, these guys, never cease to amaze me with what they come out with next. It's always something like really different, and yet they still use a lot of like the same kind of, aesthetics. So in this one, it's all about, you know, the soundtrack is pretty samey, like with the other three puzzle games that they came out with. I think we talked about Energy Balance, something something cycle, and something something something. I can't remember the names. My brain is broken. But in North, it's actually quite a lot different. This one is a first person mode puzzle game that is a sort of, like, the whole point of the game is to figure out how to play the game. So it's presented that you are a this male character who is writing letters to his sister. And basically, anytime you do something, you have to go back to your starting point and send off a letter. And then it lets you read the letter and you tell your sister what's going on in the letter. And so the not only the story unfolds as you see new areas and like try to figure them out, but you also learn what you're supposed to do in these letters. So it's really interesting that way. The other interesting thing about it is that the game features no menu and no saving. It is the only item that you get besides what you pick up at the moment. The only other item that you get is the letters. Or are the letters, whatever. But yeah, so it's like, it's very minimal in that sense. The graphics of it are very, I don't even know if I want to say like Nintendo 64. They almost look like, you know, those early like 3D models like you would see on things like the Philips CDI or the 3DO. Something like that, like an early disc-based sort of thing. Although it runs a lot smoother, it's just everything lacks in detail, and polygons are very, like, it's low poly, essentially. Although some character models are a little bit better looking, like there's a, and, you know, this isn't just because the game is cheap, it actually is trying to establish this sort of creepy effect. Like when you walk into a quote unquote church and it's just this big white empty room that you can move around in. And it's just a bunch of alien looking silhouette creatures staring at a picture of an eye, like the dollar bill eye, like the Illuminati eye. Nice. And like, yeah. And you have no idea what's going on. You're just walking around in white nothingness towards this picture in these silhouettes. And then you write a letter to your sister. And then he tries to explain what's going on in the church. And then, yeah, you go to work, which involves trying to process these rocks that come out of these jackhammer things and then feeding them to an alien that's basically being melted down in acid. So, like, and it even looks weirder than I'm describing it. And that's actually the part of the game where I kind of got stuck. Even though they said this would take me 30 minutes to beat, apparently there's something I probably should have done before going to work. Because they only give you so much time to find these boulders, and they're like way the hell over there, and like then you run out of air because they make you walk around in this contaminated space, and you only have so much time to pick up those things and bring them back. And I still haven't done that. So there's got to be something else laying around. But yeah, so it's a game that's basically about figuring out the game, and I guess taking in the creepy aesthetics and like kind of trying to figure out what's going on. I don't know what they mean about refugee crisis, but it's definitely this thing where you don't really see any other humans. It's all these just, you know, monsters that you're trying to make sense of.
I think it's more that they're kind of dealing, not that there's necessarily a refugee crisis in the game, but yeah, it's kind of based on how we're dealing with refugee crises and or crisis, right. crises.
Yes.
I don't know. But I know the talking with the publisher, they mentioned that, like you said, this is supposed to be a shorter game. It's intended to be something beaten in a single session within, like, you know, 30 to 60 minutes, although apparently a little more difficult than that for you.
Yeah, go figure. No, there's probably just something I missed. I'll go back and get it. The game is intriguing enough that you actually do want to get through it and see what's at the end of that hour. Because yeah, they tell you at the beginning of the game even that this is intended to be a short game, so please play it all the way through.
Yeah. So $5 on Xbox, $3 on Switch and PlayStation. What do you think of this one?
I think that this is a really cool art piece and definitely something for somebody who has that curiosity to see what's going on and to like check out the story and everything. But yeah, as an actual game, it's pretty darn minimal. So you're not going to find much in the way of action or intrigue or anything like that. It's literally kind of like I said, it's more of an art piece and a curiosity than like your standard game. So for $3, that's about the right price. I mean, pick it up if you're curious and, you know, then check it out. Maybe it'll stick with you or something like that. I know I'll be thinking about that.
Should Xbox gamers consider picking it up at $5, or would they be better off picking it up on a different platform?
Well, I don't know that they've done anything different on the Xbox One, but it's, like I said, the graphics in the game are minimal. It runs smooth just fine on a Switch, so there's probably not any real benefit to paying the extra dollars.
I mean, achievement. People love their Xbox achievements.
Yeah, if they want the achievements, then go get it just for the achievements, because it's a short game.
Cool. Sounds good. Well, Chris, always good having you on chatting about games. You have any final thoughts to wrap up all of those games you covered?
Drink lots of water, folks.
All right. Next game to talk about is called Puzzle Puppers, developed and published by Cardboard Keep. It released February 20th on the Switch for $4.99. Stretch out cute dogs to their food bowls. Easy to learn, difficult to master with deceptively simple puzzles and mechanics. Who's a good boy? You are. Yes, you are. And who else is a good boy? Pernell Vaughn, who's a good puppy? Pernell Vaughn, how are you?
It's still funny. Damn it. I had a chance to prep for this, and I'm still laughing.
The beauty of re-recording. Yay, and I still get you giggling. So, Pernell, tell me about Puzzle Puppers. What is this game? Besides amazing, by the way.
Well, it is definitely a legitimate game. So, first thing to point out is the fact that I didn't realize coming in that it is a port of a mobile game, which is typically not my wheelhouse. But with that in mind, I also have to respect that if a company decides to move a mobile game to a platform that you are willing to try it on, you should give it the attention that it deserves as a fresh product. And with that in mind, I played Puzzle Puppers, and I found myself feeling entertained by the product. So the premise is that you may have one to multiple dogs all vying for food because they're freaking hungry. and there happens to be one or more food bowls littered throughout the course that match the color of the respective dogs on the level. Your task is to pull and tug and elasticate these happy critters to get them to their meals and satisfied, whatever word you want to go with there, but I want to use them all. So I just rambled them. So it is a great time, actually. It's a pretty simple game, but they do provide you with a number of obstacles that factor in to make it a little more difficult for you to do this, such as freshly dug holes that dogs can burrow into and kind of pop out in another location of a matching hole. There are chasms that have to be crossed, usually by way of the aforementioned holes, and things like conveyor belts, which are pretty much meant to fully extend the dog to the extent of the length of the conveyor belt. So as you're trying to get these dogs to kind of crisscross each other, because they can't actually cross over each other, so more like kind of bump and grind alongside each other to get to their bowls, there's also the added obstacle of acquiring pieces of meat that'll be littered throughout the course, because, of course, any good dog wants to have an appetizer before the main course, being their food dish.
Mm-hmm. Always.
So in addition to getting like the possible one-star rating of just getting all your dogs fed, there's also two-star, which I don't even know how you get 2 stars because I never got it.
I think it comes down to getting most of the meat, but not all of it, because I've had 2 stars pop up a few times when I would miss like 1 or 2 meat and that's it.
See, that's my problem. I'm too much of a perfectionist. It's like, nope, got to get all the meat. I won't even stop the level until it's all contained. But so you'll be finding yourself possibly beating a level, but then, you know, retracting your last move because you want to get the meat products and get those 3 stars, which are actually used to unlock bonus stages in the game, which I kind of appreciate. It's not just a score. It actually has a purpose. So honestly, the game itself is fairly simplistic. I pretty much already described it in full. There's about 100 levels.
I think there's 80.
Unlockable.
I believe the total was 80, if I remembered.
Oh. Okay, because I know there was like, I pretty much said that one thing where it's like, oh, how many levels are there? You just scroll over and it just keeps going. Mm-hmm. Like, well, there's a lot of stages here. I'm just going to say 100. But they give you a fair number of levels. I mean, 80 is still a good number of stages to play around with. And they get progressively tougher, but I never found myself feeling stressed out by a level, so to speak. So this is the kind of puzzle game that you could boot up and not feel taxed by it, which makes it sound worse than it actually is, but that's not quite the case, because there are some puzzle games where they are like meant to be frustrating because they want you to hurt your brain before you actually get to the conclusion. But this is more of a relaxing puzzle. You sit down with it, you ponder, you smile a bit, now boom, after maybe a couple of minutes, you may have figured it out. And if you didn't, you'll just move on to the next level and eventually come back later with a new perspective.
Mm-hmm.
I
was going to say, I got to throw this out there. When we first got the game in and I offered it to you, I ended up looking at some videos afterwards and decided I wanted to pick it up myself. So before we even like started playing for the review, I already bought the game and was playing it myself. And I think on Facebook, I was messaging to you like, oh my God, this game is fucking legit. Like,
yeah, it was. You're pretty much the one that got me like more pressed to get it started, because I was like, I'm going to make some time to play this in like maybe a day or two and then play it like over the next 2 days or so. And you were like, no, I'm liking this game. I'm like, well, shoot, I need to play it right now. I want to see what all the fuss is about.
I got straight up addicted to it in a bad way for a bit there.
And it's also nice that it's like kind of a positive like atmosphere. Like it's very colorful. I will say the music could use some variety. That's one thing about, you know, the mobile thing that never quite jazzed me. Usually they'll be like, hey, let's pick this one track and just loop it forever. But that is a small gripe because a lot of people I know probably just turn the volume down entirely and just play the puzzles in their entirety as they are. But yes, it's a very addictive game, enjoyable, lighthearted. And as far as I'm concerned, for 5 bones, I think it's a worthy go. It's enjoyable.
Nice. I was just about to ask for $5 your verdict, and I'll throw mine out there too. $5. This is a definite buy. I think it is awesome. Love it. Love it. It's no surprise I'm a fan of puzzle games, and this one just clicked and I loved it.
I want more puzzle games and I want them now. It's a shame that they've kind of fallen by the wayside over the years. Like, we get the occasional ones. Like, we had Puyo Puyo Tetris recently, and we actually just got the re-release of Magical Drop 3 on console, which was nice.
Yeah, I was excited to see that come out.
Oh, yeah, I grabbed it today, actually. I kept putting it off time. I was like, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. And then I went to Winter Brawl last week and played a Magical Drop cabinet. And I was like, I got to get back on this, man. I missed this game too much. So came home and bought it. Might had to have the timing was perfect.
Nice. Anyway, moving on. Next up, we actually have a 3-pack of games to talk about. Samurai Ace, Strikers 1945-2, and Zero Gunner 2-Dash. All three developed and published for the Switch by Zero Div. Strikers and Zero Gunner released January 25th on the Switch for $7.99. Samurai Aces just released February 15th for $7.99. If you went to video arcades, you might know this name. It is Saikyo. You may remember we actually covered Strikers 1945-2 and Zero Gunner 2-Dash a little bit ago on the show. I believe Chris Taylor is the one who covered those. But
I think I did Zero Gunner. I think maybe the Strikers though, but I definitely got Zero Gunner because that's how I learned it existed.
Maybe we get so many games among so many people that I can't even remember anymore. There's too many of you people.
There's many games.
They sent us, Zero Div sent us Samurai Aces to check out, and they also sent us fresh codes for Strikers and Zero Gunner. And I figured if we're going to take a look at one, we might as well just reevaluate all three of them at once and give fresh opinions on everything. And I think it actually works out really well because these three games kind of span the history of Saikyo games. We'll start with Samurai Aces. This is the first Saikyo title from 1993, vertical shooter with vertical orientation. I love that these games have the option to adjust the screen positioning on the Switch. Have you messed with the screen options on these games at all?
Nah, but I know that big fans of the genre would appreciate it for sure, because I remember back in the day, a lot of people used to flip CRTs on their side just to get the experience of horizontal scrolling shooters.
Mm-hmm. So with Samurai Aces, just detach those Joy-Con, tip that sumbitch on the side, and play it vertically the way, you know, God intended to play vertical shooters.
But I wonder how that would work with Zero Gunner. That game has a weird perspective. It's just top down.
Well, we'll get to that one eventually, but that's a vertical shooter with the horizontal orientation. So we'll get to that one in a few minutes. I love the ability on these games to be able to switch the screen 90 degrees so you could play them vertical. It just makes sense. I fucking love that. Anyway, this one feels a lot closer and more claustrophobic in my opinion than some of the other Saikyo games. Everything just seems more zoomed in, and it's nice that things feel bigger, but it also just feels a bit too tight in some areas. The game has 6 different pilots. Each of them have their own unique weapons and bombs and personalities, because this game actually has, you know, a little bit of voice acting in there. It has story cutscenes. I believe it had like over 20 endings to the game, something crazy like that.
Yeesh.
And a lot of it comes down to like doing co-op plays and getting through the game with 2 players. And like, there's a lot of content in this game. Overall, there's 7 stages in the game with the different cutscenes. So it's not a super huge game, but given this was an arcade title, you know, you're not expecting a 5-hour epic out of this thing. I think it's the most basic of the three games that we're going to be talking about tonight, but also has the most personality and humor to it, which I enjoyed. But you could tell that this is very much an earlier game in Saikyo's game library, their history. Next up was Strikers 1945-2. That one came out in 97, so jumped a couple of years forward there. Another vertical shooter, vertical orientation. Again, 6 different ships, each with their own unique weapons and bomb attacks. This one has 8 stages, but it actually requires 2 complete playthroughs so that you can get the, quote, ending to the game, which basically just says, like, the end. But, you know, old school arcade games. But when you beat it the second time, you get credits as well. So you know, get to see names and a little FMV scene there as well. Enjoyable, a lot of fun. I think gameplay wise, it's a notch above Samurai Aces, just because it's a little more, for the time it was a little more modern than Samurai Aces, but the lack of the personality in Samurai Aces is kind of missed a bit. The third game is Zero Gunner 2 Dash. This one is from 2001. So you could see 93, 97, 2001. We're just spanning the history.
Trucking along.
Like I said, this one is a vertical shooter with a horizontal orientation. So this one doesn't have the option to flip the screen, you know, because it takes up the entire wide screen of the Switch screen. This one has three different helicopters you could pick from. Each has their own unique weapons. And instead of bombs, this has options. Remember in Gradius where you could use the option, it gives you like a little extra ship bulb thing that flies with you and shoots along with you.
Oh, yeah, basically an extra turret.
Yeah, pretty much. They pretty much have that in this game as well, except they are temporary, where if you're flying around, you can choose to drop one here or there, and they'll just shoot at enemies when you're shooting. So they're sadly only temporary, but you can place them pretty much whenever you want, as long as you have some. Something else I enjoyed about this is this is the one with a unique axis mechanic where one button shoots, which, you know, we all expect in a shmup. The other can be held to adjust the rotation of your ship, allowing you to basically turn 360 degrees on a level. So that obviously means you're going to get enemies coming in from all sides in this game. It's not just, you know, you're facing up and enemies come down at you. Enemies can come from all directions. Many times they're going to switch what direction you're flying in stages. It's just really good way to keep you on your toes. Although I will say the first few games I played, trying to get used to that rotating mechanic is very, very weird to get into.
I have the same problem, but it definitely works out in the long run, but whew, I agree with you. And hopefully people don't try that and have that experience and let it put them off of the experience as a whole, because it shouldn't. Mm-hmm.
Definitely unique mechanic, something you got to get used to. But once you do, really solid game. Seven stages in this one as well. Visually, obviously the most advanced of the three, you know, because it's 8 years older than Samurai Aces. Because we covered two of these before, you know, it's obvious. They're all going to be, you know, either highly recommended try-its or buy-its, because these are very hard to find arcade games that you could own for $8. So like that alone is reason to say to buy all these games. But because we have three of them, maybe we should, you know, do something a little different with this one. If out of the three, if you're only going to buy one of the three, I think the best one to go with is going to be Zero Gunner.
I'd have to go with that logic too. That game is legitimately good. And yeah, if you're the type who, if you're one of those poor people who liked the idea of Cannon Spike, but missed out on being able to buy it before it dropped press and skyrocketed in price, Zero Gunner is the predecessor to Cannon Spike. And it is very clear when you're playing the game. So you could get a pretty comparable experience by playing this one.
Yeah. I mean, all that, and it's still, you know, the most recent of the three. It's the most current, the most modern, best looking, most unique as well. Since, you know, a lot of shmups, you don't really see a mechanic where you're able to rotate your ship 360 degrees based on what's going on. Second place I would have to give to Samurai Aces. It's very, very close between that and Strikers, but the fact that there's so many endings, there's so much more personality and, you know, cut scenes, and it just feels more complete. That's not saying that Strikers isn't a complete game, because, you know, it has more stages than the other games, and it, you know, it has the whole two playthroughs required. I just think overall Samurai Aces just barely edges it out because of the addition of goofy characters with, you know, unique looking ships and, cut scenes and voice acting. It just feels like it went that extra step, if that makes sense.
I think so. Typically, seeing the actual effect of added content and detail makes you want to play a game with more. I don't know, it just feels like it has more substantialness to it.
Mm-hmm. But no matter how you look at it, all three games are awesome. If you are a fan of shmups of any variety, I think anything that Zero Div is putting out that is a shooter is going to be worth picking up. I'm a whore for retro games. I think we've covered that quite a bit on this show. Plus the fact that I counted, I own 55 Neo Geo games on the Xbox One.
I think that qualifies as you being quite the fan.
So yeah, I enjoy these retro games, and to get these old school arcade games for $8 is just mind blowing, considering how much you would spend on them in arcades back in the day.
Yeah, it's definitely, I'd say it's worth this cut. And honestly, a lot of these games I actually did not get a chance to experience because of those high value costs, and in some cases, inaccessibility until they started getting these re-releases.
Yeah. Again, though, all good stuff. But one final game to talk about tonight is called Boo! Greedy Kid, developed by Flying Oak Games, published by Plug-In Digital. This one released February 22nd on Steam for $4.99. In Boo! Greedy Kid, you play as a small brat who's so into soda that he doesn't blink an eye before wreaking havoc to get his favorite drink. Go frighten people with your own voice. Purnell, what the hell is this game?
Pretty much a game made with me in mind, because clearly they totally know what my voice sounds like and how capable it is of scaring the masses. So I kind of took well to that premise immediately. So it's kind of an interesting idea of a game. It's a 2D cartoony sort of stealth product. You are going from left to right, walking through what I believe is a large old folks home. And you are sneaking up on senior citizens and yelling at them to give them heart attacks. And then while they're passed out, you know, in need of resuscitation, you can collect their money, which you can use to buy soda.
This sounds ridiculous.
It very much so is. There's a number of different types of units that patrol the different stages. You'll have generic old grannies who can go down in one scream, some old men that take multiple screams to go down, and in the process they get angry after you scream at them the first time and kind of give chase to give the old little whippersnapper a taste of his old medicine, and in which case you have to get away from them by hiding in furniture or in bookcases or just charging, going between different rooms, because there's doors similar to Bugs Bunny's Crazy Castle where once you enter one, it'll warp you to a corresponding colored door elsewhere on the map. And you'll find yourself constantly pretty much yelling at these people, knocking them over, getting their beverage, their candy money, and then bounding away. Now, the way to beat an actual stage is to incapacitate every senior and then having the elevator doors open up and reaching the elevator untouched. But there are things that factor into the game that make this a little more complicated. Not too many things, but still good things. So there are police officers that will occasionally be patrolling the floors. Think of them like, you know, Wile E. Coyote or Daffy Duck in Crazy Castle. If they see you, they will give chase and attempt to attack the kid, because clearly child abuse is not an issue in this world. I don't know. and Greedy Kid has to pretty much evade them either by hiding just like from the seniors, or he has a dodge roll, which he needs to kind of dip under them, or he can also slam doors in their faces or change between the different rooms to evade them. There are also nurses that patrol the floor, and they have a pretty interesting mechanic too. Sometimes they'll throw tantrums and come after you similar to how the seniors do. But in addition, if a nurse happens to see an incapacitated senior, they will rush them and resuscitate them, which will prevent you from actually escaping the floor. You have to go back and re-incapacitate the senior, and they don't give you more money in the process.
Oh, man.
So they pretty much add problems to your – they pretty much add an extra issue to your quick fix of caffeine addiction. So it's pretty cool in the sense that you'll find yourself trying to plot out keeping down seniors out of the view of patrolling nurses, or taking out the nurses and then taking out the cops, because I think you can have to take out the cops too, but I spent more time being afraid of them than actually trying, so I couldn't say. But you're essentially just like going through these steps. Like, I pretty much explained the whole game, though. One thing worth mentioning is that just like the previous game I reviewed, there is a 3-star rating in these stages too, because that's how these games work.
Oh, boy.
The way this game does it is beating the level is 1-star, getting the quota of money is another star, and beating it under a time limit is the 3rd star. And these challenges can be pretty hard. Like some of the levels, they want you to beat them in 10 seconds, 15 seconds, 20 seconds. And they usually require you to do everything perfectly. Because if you get hit by a character, you drop money and you can't pick up the amount, the total amount of money that you originally dropped. So getting hit once will pretty much negate the money bonus for the money star, you know, rating. So you need to be quick. You need to be efficient. And you need to be pretty much stealthy. Unfortunately, it has the same problem like the previous game I mentioned too, which is that the music is one music track that plays forever. There's no variety in jams. Just give me three tracks that can cycle. I'd be content with it. Tetris gave you three. But yeah, you got the one music track that plays, and you'll eventually get tired of it and turn the volume down. But the game itself can get to be a little bit repetitive because there are a lot of levels, and even though they'll start throwing different types of police officers at you, including a pretty comical RoboCop, you still are doing the exact same mechanic, you know, boo, you know, loot and escape. But games like Crazy Castle and other classic Nintendo games pretty much had a similar concept of repetition, and they weren't bad games because if it's fun, it works. And I would say in the case of Boo Greedy Kid, it actually does work. It's nice. An enjoyable product.
So $5 on this one. What is your verdict?
I think if you're in the market for such a thing, it's worth your money. You'll enjoy it.
Sounds good. And if anyone's looking to save an extra buck, the game is actually on sale. Instead of $4.99, it is $3.99 until March 1st. So by the time you hear this, you have about a day or two left. Jump on it now and save an extra buck.
Come on, be greedy. Pick it up.
But that is it for tonight. Pernell, thanks for coming on and chatting. Thank you again to God, who all was here? Chris was here. Ian was here. Adam Rippon was here. The game developer, not the figure skater, just in case. Just in case people forgot.
Was there enough Chris's here? Was there another Chris?
Nah, just the two, I think.
Okay, that's enough, Chris. That's still a decent quorum. It comes close to hitting the Chris quota.
And they're spelled differently, so it's like they're completely different people at this point.
Oh.
Yeah, because they're completely different people.
Two different species of Chris.
Yeah, crazy. But yeah, that is it. We're going to play some music and fun stuff and whatever else. Pernell, do you have any final words to end the show?
Just hope you guys enjoyed the show. If you want to hear more nonsense related to music, check out Rhythm and Pixels podcast, www.rhythmandpixels.com. And other than that, keep jamming out to SML and keep playing those games. Have a good time.
and holy moly, underworld bully. I will crush those who oppose me, just like mummy told me. My ambitions are cavernous, my motto is avarice. With blue I get so amorous, for gold I get ravenous. My manner is bombastic, my statements sarcastic, my flow's pyroclastic, my legend's dynastic. Yeah, when I rise like Lazarus, my odor is always hazardous. Your skill is at best average, there's no way you can handle this. Notice your moves are atrocious, so quote this. Hopeless is what you are, now bow down to a true star. My voice like thunder, I leave the earth on the sun, so don't make a blunder, you be 6 feet under. You better hide under covers, I do what I wonder. Your feelings get hurt, step up girl, you better stay alert, or you'll be napping up in that dirt. Fort is a mole that I'm putting in the work. I hope you like this room, cause now it won't be your tomb. All your plans I will ruin if you don't play to my tune. Yeah. Must be kidding, now you can't make a peep. Fortress symbol in these streets, yeah. Pause for the call, from the window to the wall. See, victory is not yours. I came for the roars of applause, and you're the main cause.